Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill, and the HighSpeedWeb.net that streams our signal 24/7, 365. Well, Mr. Man in Control, one of the men in control of the city of Rock Hill, Mr. Jimmy Bagley is back with us, and he is a veritable font of information. First question I'm going to ask Jimmy Bagley has nothing to do with the city of Rock Hill. What went wrong with the Clemson Tigers' their playbook on Monday night?
That's a really good question. I wish I knew that, but they've had a good year, a couple good years, and I guess you can't win them all. LSU came on strong; they looked great, and hopefully Clemson will come back even stronger. We'll see what next year looks like.
Not bad to be in the national championship 4 years in a row and come back with two of the wins, right?
Yeah, exactly. Can't say it's been a bad deal at all. They've done great. I felt a little sorry for Trevor Lawrence, but he seems to be coming back. He's strong. He's glad to be a part of the family.
Well, maybe we'll get a chance to replay LSU like we did Alabama.
That would be an awesome opportunity, yes, for sure.
Someplace beside down there in the Baton Rouge, right? Okay, so Jimmy, true or false, City Rock Hill's growing?
We are growing, remarkably.
Population-wise, I mean, I know we're in a 2020 census, but if you take a look just at the actual city limits of the city of Rock Hill, what, 75, 80,000 people?
Yeah, that's what it's projected, yeah. I think all of the municipalities within York County are seeing pretty significant increases, but Rock Hill primarily, probably some of the largest that we've seen in a long time.
And if you go, I swear, if you go a half mile outside that in any direction, we're way over 100,000.
Yeah, no doubt. I think York County is going to start pushing the 150,000 mark here real soon.
150,000?
Yeah.
No. We're almost at 300,000.
No, I'm talking about in the greater Rock Hill area. Yeah, gotcha. When you just get into the county right outside of the city limits. Yeah, the county-wide, the whole county, yes, absolutely off the charts.
So one of the things that I'm sure a lot of newbies to York County don't understand is when it comes to water and sewer service, really that is primarily provided by the city of Rock Hill through different entities, correct?
Correct, yes. We are a regional provider to most all the municipalities around us, including the Catawba Indian Nation as well. So it's definitely been a growing opportunity for us. And when you start looking at resources and how the economics go with larger plants, it just makes sense to put all that together in a larger facility.
Well, speaking of larger facility, I think I've been here 35 years, and I think I've been through, I don't know whether this is the second or the third expansion of the water treatment plant. It's a third.
It's a third, maybe the fourth. I think the plant's been under continual expansion since I've been here for 30 years. So it's definitely something that we've tried to keep up with the growing demands for our area.
All right, so explain to us what is going on down there now.
Well, there's a lot of things going on, but the main one that you'll see on Cherry Road is at the water filter plant, and it's currently being expanded from 36 million gallons a day to a capacity of 48. And with that means a lot of additional filters, and that's mainly what the big buildings that you see. That's where the water's coming in. It goes through several filtration processes. Obviously, it's treated, tested, and monitored, and then it's transported back out into a distribution system that serves mostly almost the countywide.
So what else besides big buildings for filtration? Well, involved with this?
It's a lot of new processes as well. As you all know, DHEC constantly is monitoring what we're doing as well, and any time that they can test for additional criteria, then all of a sudden that becomes a new standard, so they want you to do it even better. And we want to be able to comply with all that, and we've been very proud that our water's always met or exceeded in every year what the standards are. So we're really glad that we have really good quality water coming in and even better quality going back out. But we're constantly making sure that we can make new improvements. Some of the latest things are monitoring for nutrients. This is taking out some of your phosphorus and nitrogens. We think those are going to be some of the newer standards. So we're making sure that all the upgrades that we're doing are able to facilitate that, should DHEC decide that's part of the new permitting. So that's some of what you see. We're also upgrading the raw water intake. We are very fortunate to be able to withdraw water off the lake. We do have a river intake, but most of our water comes off the lake. So we are doing some modifications there for pretreatment processes with the chlorine that we're using, as well as upgrading the pumps. And not too long ago, we did some additional work on the amount of water we're able to pull in from that location as well. So that's happening too.
So you're pulling in, or you will be pulling in, mm-hmm. 48 million gallons a day of water, processing and sending it right back out.
Correct.
All right. So you talked about the intake part.
Yes.
Now, what about the distribution part? Because I know that there have been a lot of streets torn up here in Rock Hill over this in 2019 as you were upgrading sizes of water lines and sewer lines and what have you.
That's absolutely true. Some of the work that you see is because of pennies. When we know that there is road work being performed, we want to make sure that if we have water lines that are aged there, we try to get those replaced just so that once there's a new road, we don't have to dig in and make repairs. And some of those are just making sure that we've had additional taps if we know there's a new development so that, again, we don't have to try to cut the road after the fact. So a lot of that is just replacing existing infrastructure. But some of the bigger projects that you're seeing, we're installing new 24-inch water lines all throughout. So somewhat of a bypass. And this is around the edges of the city to make sure that we have fire protection and adequate water supply, really to a lot of our wholesale customers as well as some of our customers that are on the fringes of the city limits. And that's been very helpful to make sure that we can sustain the water pressures and the water quantities that are needed for firefighting and other purposes in some of those areas that we just haven't had very large lines in the past.
So as far as the water treatment and distribution system, you got the piece at the lake that brings the water in. Mm-hmm. That's sent down here to the filtration plant. And then it goes out in a million different directions to whoever is a buyer.
Right. It goes to approximately 40,000 meters in the city. And then you also have, you know, TKK, Fort Mill, the Catawba Indian Nation, York County. So a lot of those are redistributed, and they have their own customers. And sometimes it's wholesale back to somebody else after that as well. So it's well up into about 150,000 people that are probably receiving water off the system indirectly.
So with the growth that we're experiencing and with this latest expansion, how long do you think that's going to last you at the rate we're going?
Well, we did an expansion about 10 years ago to take us to the 36 million gallon mark. So we were, you know, looking at about 12 million gallons over that 10-year period. And again, we want to make sure we stay ahead of the curve and forecast out. It's really interesting, during your shoulder months where there's not a lot of irrigation, not a lot of demand, you know, it may be half that. So we may see that 36 look more like 18 or less. So a lot of this definitely is summertime, and that's from a lot of the irrigation systems that we see. A lot of folks are just using more water to refill the pools and that sort of thing. But we have to be able to provide the demand for those times as well. So taking it from 36 to 48, we hope will get us another 10 years out of it. The existing plant has the capacity on that site to develop into a 60 million gallon a day plant. And then after that, we're going to be looking at other expansions. I would imagine our next expansion, though, is probably going to be on the lake itself, just because we have more demand on that side of the county as opposed to inside the downtown city limits. So the next expansion is probably going to be somewhere on the outside near the raw water intake, and then we'll be able to distribute it a little bit better from there.
Well, I know you guys always plan, and then plan some more. So when you talk about this scenario, you either have land or you're looking for land for way down the line, if you have to do something like that at the lake?
We do, and we are looking at you know, what we can do on the Cherry Red site. We do have, again, capacity to expand the raw water intake out on the lake. That can certainly develop into a plant, as well as maybe, you know, what would the next area look like, maybe further down the river, further up the river. And again, it just depends on who the wholesale customers are. We've talked to Chester County over the years about servicing their needs as well. They would like a better water quality source out of the lake as opposed to the river, and they do a really good job. But it's a long haul, and we've talked to the State Department of Commerce, about, you know, how to get water and sewer all along I-77 corridor. And to do that, it just takes a lot of money. So it's still on the plans. We've talked about it. We've looked at it. But until we can come up with a couple hundred million dollars to make that connection, that's probably still going to just be there for a little while. But certainly that's a possibility down the road.
But as you pointed out, it seems to be more prudent to have one centralized water filtration distribution system. I mean, I hear from time to time, you know, Rock Hill has all the water. We should have our own. Well, you know, go build a water plant. If you want to build a water plant, go build one.
Yeah, I think most all of our wholesale customers have looked into that. And certainly if you have an existing plant, it might make sense to operate it until you just can't operate it any longer because right. you can't meet the standards or what have you. But to go build a new one, certainly the cost to build a new one is going to cost a lot more than what you can buy it on the wholesale level. And, again, that's just the economics of size. You have to staff it pretty much 24/7 now to monitor everything. And by the time you look at the staffing, look at all the requirements to meet the standards, that's just expensive. Whether you treat 100,000 gallons a day or whether you treat 100 million gallons a day, you have to do a lot of the same testing. And to be able to accommodate all that, the cost associated per gallon just makes sense to spread that over a larger volume than it does over a smaller amount. And that, it just makes sense based on the size.
Well, it's kind of like when I've done a show here with Charlie Ruffalo. You know, everybody sits down and eats a sandwich, but nobody knows what goes into it. Well, if you think about, you just turn on the tap and you just get that nice fresh glass of water, there's a lot that goes into getting that glass of water.
It really is. And when you look at the commodities out there, for water to be a couple dollars per thousand gallons, that's about one of the cheapest things I know you can buy. You certainly can't get milk for that. And, so when you start talking about the way costs have increased, water, we still have some of the cheapest water, I think, in the country, and really good quality water, too.
One of the things that the city always does, I see it every year, is you benchmark yourself between a dozen or 15 other cities and all the different categories, water, sewer, electric, all that kind of stuff. And when you look, and I don't have that grid in front of me, but I'm sure you have it in your head. When you talk about the pricing for water, are we somewhere in the middle of all that?
We are, and we like to stay in the middle. And a lot of folks say, well, you know, why can't we shift on down to the lower end? And we certainly could. But when you do that, you start starving your replacement programs, you start starving your capital investments, and that's not something we want to do. We've certainly seen some of the private sector companies near us that have done that, and you hear a lot of the problems that they've had because they've not reinvested back into the system. That's not where we want to be. We're not for profit organization, so all of our money goes back into the system. It goes back into our ratepayers, and that's the way we like it. So we want to be right in the middle. We want to be competitive for new investments. We want to see new folks come to town. So we definitely want to be marketable as a community with a lot of other quality of life services. But we also want to have enough revenues that we can sustain it and put back into the system to make the expansions, to make the growth, and to make sure that you don't hear about sewer spills every day, hear about water problems every day. And certainly you're going to have any in any system a little bit, but we just don't have near the problems that you hear a lot of other folks have around us. And I think that's just because we have invested, and we have a great council that's very aware of that, and they're willing to put the money back into the systems to make that happen.
Well, I'm sure when you see entities like the Panthers, for instance, looking at Rock Hill and the size and the scope of what they're talking about, they haven't made a decision to locate here knowing that our utility system was not sufficient to handle it. I mean, they know from their due diligence we can handle it.
They do. And certainly all the manufacturers particularly that look into our area or even really large national companies, that's one of the first things they do. They check your rates, but they also check your service, and they want to make sure that you have the capacity and the willingness to serve, and they want to make sure that you sustain the system. And they'll talk to you about how many electrical outages you have and how many sewer overflows you have, and they look at that. They want to be part of a community that doesn't have that. And we've been very fortunate. A lot of the companies that have located here, and they're looking at bringing in good jobs, good paying jobs. They do that just because of the way the city is run, not only because of all the amenities we offer with parks and rec, and you know, people want to have a place to go, they want to look at your school system and how that's run, but they really particularly want to make sure that the lights are going to be on and they have plenty of water and wastewater to take care of their needs.
So this project is, and I've forgotten the number, roughly how much for this water plant, water treatment expansion?
The water plant's roughly about $55 million. And then we have the wastewater plant that's about another $150 million. So we're looking at about $200 million here in the next couple of years to do both of these projects. Anticipate probably another $50 to $80 million coming five, 6 years after that, depending on what the state comes out with new regulations for us to try to adhere to. So, a lot of money.
A lot of money. And then when you do all this wonderful planning and you've taken out old pipes before they break, then you get that little hiccup that you just probably lose sleep about every once in a while. When we have our brand new Cherry Road that we all struggled to get through, and what the heck happens a couple of weeks after? Boom, a pipe bust.
Certainly there's things that happen. You know, again, I mentioned with any system, and it's not necessarily all the age of the pipe, but it has a lot to do with the construction going on. Certainly that pipe that you're referring to, it has seen all these years, it's, you know, has seen 30 years worth of construction work on top of it. I think that had a lot to do with it. I think the fact that, you know, we had planned on taking it out of service anyway, it has seen a lot of what we call water hammers with, you know, surges in the system, and it's right there at the plant. So any surge is going to happen really close to it. I think it had what I'd call premature failure. A lot of people are saying the age of the pipe caused it. I don't think so. I think that certainly was a factor. But I think it was one of those unfortunate events. The fact that it happened when it did, where it did, was all part of it. That pipe since then has been taken out of service, and it was scheduled to be taken out of service all along. Just it beat us to it. And those things happen from time to time. But our crews knew that was a line that we wanted to take out. We have other lines that had replaced it, and that's already been addressed. So we feel pretty good about that and are constantly looking to make sure we can stay ahead of those in the future.
All right, so here's a trick question. How many, approximately, miles of pipe do we have under Mother Earth and under all the asphalt, making all this possible so that we can have water service and wastewater service? How many miles of pipe do we have?
It's well over 300 miles of lines that are out there and in service, and probably even more than that when you start looking at service lines and some of the much smaller lines, but just the significant lines that carry most of the water, it's a significant amount.
But you have a system where you're monitoring these pipes. I mean, you know not only where the pipes are, but how long they've been there. And you have a systematic replacement or maintenance program on these?
We do. We have a program that we have funded every year, over $100,000 to replace lines under a 2-inch size. And that's just as the city has grown, people are using more water, just like they traditionally use more electricity. We know some of those pipes were built many, many years ago. And at that time, people may have just had enough water for one bathroom or kitchen sink. Now the homes have been added on. There's two or three bathrooms, and you have much more than what you did in the beginning. So we're making sure that those lines have, again, adequate protection for firefighting. We're adding fire hydrants as the city grows, and we're finding areas that may be underserved that we're trying to go in and serve those as well. It's interesting, you know, when the city first became in the water business in the early 1900s, you know, we kind of had a core area. But as we've grown, we've taken over a lot of systems in a lot of areas that we didn't necessarily develop. They were either a private system or developed under a mill service. We don't have plans on those. We don't know when those pipes were put in. We don't even know where some of those pipes are. So a lot of the older areas that we have now taken responsibility for are areas that we didn't develop. So we're having to try to map those and guesstimate how old they may be and make sure that those are also meeting the same standards we have for the rest of our customers. And that's a little more challenging. So as you say, we have everything mapped. We do have a plan, and part of that plan is to try to identify all of these areas that we don't know much about and try to find a little more about it, make sure that we can take care of those areas as well.
All right, we're going to take our mid-program break, remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. And, of course, we hang out here every day at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, where we prepare fresh subs and salads right before your eyes 7 days a week. Now, anybody who's anybody, I want you to get on this now, sees these white letters, and that's how we do it. And the count of three, we're all going to say it together. Is everybody ready now? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Substation 2 is excellent. It's fresh. The buns just feel like they came out of the oven, and you can't beat the deli meat.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration. When you are faced with damage to your home, there's only one company you need to know, Paul Davis Restoration. Only one company that 4 out of 5 insurance adjusters or agents surveyed said they would use Paul Davis to work on their own homes. There is only one company you need to know. Call Paul Davis Restoration, 803-329-1140. It is better to know Paul Davis Restoration and not need us than to need Paul Davis and not know us. 329-1140.
Good Pharmacy, taking care of families for four generations.
This is pharmacist Kia Hicklin.
We have 6 pharmacists that are knowledgeable, friendly, and ready to get to know your family and their needs.
My mom loves Good Pharmacy.
Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue, Rock Hill.
Now available from Founders Federal Credit Union, Dividend AMP. Dividend AMP is the easiest way to fund Founders Loyalty Select, our highest yield savings account. Enroll in Dividend AMP today, and the dividends from your eligible interest-bearing accounts may qualify for Dividend AMP transfers. Log in to Founders Online to enroll today. Relax, we're helping you amp up your savings. Account restrictions apply, federally insured by NCUA.
Why do you take investment advice from a mutual fund or insurance salesman when you can work directly with a genuine money manager? If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see the difference for yourself. 324-5044 or go online to AndersonGriggs.com.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
I like the lunch special pricing.
I like the bread, good prices, and location.
Man, it's just utterly delicious.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. A very knowledgeable Assistant City Manager, Jimmy Bagley, is with us today. And we've spent most of the program just talking about the water system, which in itself is amazing. But in terms of dollars invested and, I don't know, maybe issues that you have to deal with day in and day out, the wastewater system is it a bigger headache? Is it a bigger challenge?
Oh, it's definitely a bigger headache. And if anybody wants to get in the business, I'll be more than happy to talk to you about it. That is definitely one that it's extremely expensive to do, very costly, no matter how you look at it. Obviously, it's not the cleanest job in the world. And all of us want to know when we flush that, you know, you don't have to think about it anymore. And that's certainly what we try to do. But there's a lot that happens after that as far as treatment and reprocessing. And, you know, I tell folks they don't want to think about it, but it really is a closed system. The water that comes from the rain that we drink and, you know, it's all returned. And we're not making any new water. It's all reprocessed somehow, somewhere. So we want to make sure we're doing the best job we can with that. And certainly the water that we're putting back into the system is better than what we take out. And that's definitely a
I think that's interesting because, you know, when you think about it, people probably lost track of this, but it wasn't too many years ago when whatever the association was, you know, labeled the Catawba River as the most endangered river or whatever it was. I think that's the right word.
Yeah, the American rivers, yeah.
America in the country. So taking that water out, it's already messed up and dirty and whatever. But what you're putting back in is cleaner.
It's definitely cleaner. It's definitely better. You know, like the Boy Scouts, we try to leave it better than we found it, and that's certainly part of the way we handle it. I think you know, there are a lot of different ways to look at the river and a lot of different ways to talk about, is this water good water? And we have a lot of people that ask that. Well, it depends, what are you doing with it? You might want the nutrients in it, you might not want the nutrients in it. But I think as far as a drinking water quality standard, what we're putting back in is 10 times better than what we're taking out. A lot of what we're seeing today is intrusion from runoff, and you're getting a lot of sediment built up into the rivers. Certainly if you watch water as it travels through a stream, it's going to purify and clean itself over, you know, about 7 miles. You end up with pretty good water. But a lot of what's going back into that is just not managed and controlled. And it's real easy to pick on a wastewater plant or what we call a point source area, coal ash ponds you hear people talk about that are located close by. But when you really start talking about all the runoff from the land and, you know, brake fluid that's leaking in the parking lots and just contaminants from oil and cars that are leaking. And South Carolina doesn't do the inspections anymore. But if you look at the amount of pollution that's contaminating the streets, it washes back into the storm drain, that gets back into these same rivers, that's where a lot of the contamination is coming from. It's not necessarily the single source providers that you would think are the problems. So I think as we continue to look at creating more buffers and creating more conservation areas that can filter it and manage it before it gets back to these streams and waterways, that's where I think some of the key is going to be, because it's going to take a big picture. It's not just a single. We can certainly do everything we can in the plant, but a lot of the water that's going into there is not coming from plants. It's coming from runoff. And just think about all the things on the land that's washing into it.
Yeah, I mean, case in point, the beautiful Cherry Road, which is now a beautiful Cherry Road, there's a lot of cars. There's thousands of cars who go up and down there every day. Okay. A good rainstorm takes anything that's on the top surface of Cherry Road, throws it into your stormwater system. The stormwater system ends up at the water treatment plant.
No, it doesn't go through that.
It goes straight out?
Straight out.
It goes straight out. That's why you have separate lines.
That's why you have separate lines, yeah.
So it goes straight out.
Yep, it's not allowed to tie those together anymore. That used to be the way they did it, but not even longer. It has to be separate. But we are stepping up our stormwater areas, too. So we are testing that water. We're also, in certain cases, doing best management practices, which might create an oil separator in a manhole so that you'll see the oils captured from Cherry Road, for instance. So a lot of our projects, when we spend lots of money on stormwater, a lot of those aspects are cleaning up that water so that it doesn't contaminate and go back into the streams. But 99% of it is going straight back to the stream. So cups and trash and all that stuff ultimately is going to end in a creek somewhere and back into the river if it's not contained and picked up before then. So I think a lot of the education at this point is making everyone aware that, you know, just because you didn't fix your leaking car or whatever, you know, your fertilizer, you over-fertilized or whatever, that's washing right back out into the system. And that's not something that we can easily take care of at a plant perspective because it does not get through the plant.
So while you're expanding the water treatment facilities, you are scheduled or are starting to do the same thing with wastewater?
Correct. The wastewater plant's also expanding. It's currently a 10 MGD plant, 10 million gallons a day. It's being expanded to a 20 million gallon a day plant. And we also are making sure that, you know, some of those older lines are of a size that they need to be and of a capacity and sustainability. So we're upgrading a lot of those facilities. Currently at the plant now on Red River Road, you'll see us changing out some of the pumps to a different pump technology, larger pumps. We're putting in new clarifiers, a lot of new systems. Eventually, you'll see some larger tanks on that site that are equalization basins. And those are basically so that we can capture wastewater coming in, store it. The majority of our wastewater comes in during the daytime now when plants are operating and homes are in use. But at nighttime, it gets a lot slower. So we're hoping to be able to store some of that so that we can treat it at night, get more of an evenly flow through the plant and not so much, not so much of a slurry all at one time and then it just backs off. So we're doing a lot of things to create more efficiencies at the plant, but that also gives us an opportunity to monitor things. So if we were able to get, let's say, something really bad in the wastewater before it kills all of our good microbiological bugs, we want to be able to control that and say, okay, it needs to be a slow release. Let's find out what happened. Somebody dumped a bunch of soap or suds or, you know, something like that in it. That's going to help us overall to make sure the plant's running all the time like it should.
So how long is this expansion of the wastewater treatment plant going to take?
The wastewater plant's a little bit longer. It's probably going to take 3 to 7 years based on all that we have to do there. So a lot of slow, and it's kind of like a heart doctor told me one time. It's a little bit different than being a mechanic where you can cut the car off and do it. This has got to still be worked on while you're running. And when you keep a plant running so you don't have any violations and still do all these upgrades, that takes a little bit longer. And it's a pretty big feat to do. And it's a large plant. So.
And again, you're treating the wastewater from all these communities around here.
Correct.
Do you treat Fort Mills, or do they have their own plant?
We do get some that comes through the county. They do have some of their own facilities, as does TKK, but a lot of that's still coming to us that are outside any of the existing systems they have.
The water treatment plant, when will that project be done?
That one will probably finish toward the end of 2021. So we've got about 18 months, 20 months of it left. We're projecting around November for that one to be finished. And then I'm sure we'll be talking about what the next phase of that looks like.
Oh, my goodness gracious. That's just unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. So these are long-term.
And very quickly, the wastewater treatment expansion would take you how long? I mean, I know how long. It'll take 3 to 7 years, but yeah. Good for another 10 years
I
after
think
that?
That'll be good for another 10 years after that. So that one's a little bit slower. We seem to be doing, have a little more capacity on that side.
Right.
A lot of our water gets transported outside the area. A lot of the sewer doesn't come back.
Let somebody else worry about it in 10 years, right?
That's right.
All right, Jimmy, thank you for all that you're doing. You and that team of administrators down there at the city are doing a great job. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having us.
And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. All right. Last opportunity now. Don't run out. Well, you got a few more seconds. Just hang in here. Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. How do we do it, gang? 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you on the radio on Monday. Bye.